and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people at wtgrantfdn.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Stiefel Theater with Gillian Welch and David Rawlings on August 7th after recent performances on Stephen Colbert and NPR's Tiny Desk. Tickets on sale Friday at stiefeltheater.org.
It's 57 degrees in Lawrence, 59 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
Stories of unsung heroes and learn how to submit your own at hiddenbrain.org.
Support for My Unsung Hero comes from the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City and many other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or use our app. Of course we have an app. We have a version for iOS and a version for Android, wherever you get apps.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore in downtown Lawrence, hosting events with authors Shellon David, Nicole Woods, Bill Sheldon, and Karen Miriam Goldberg this March. More information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines at 6:30, so about 12 minutes from now. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we'll learn about a new study showing that antibiotic prescriptions at pediatric visits in Rwanda dropped dramatically with the help of a tablet-based tool guiding clinicians. Everybody's very concerned about Africa's sort of a problem area for antibiotic resistance, so we will look into that. And we will also learn about a new program that is catching on around the nation. It's called Build to Rent, helping address the housing crisis. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, providing Lawrence and surrounding communities with yoga instruction by Iyengar yoga instructors since 1999. Class schedule and registration information at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
90% chance of rain tonight. We do have a chance of thunderstorms near steady temperatures in the upper 50s. An 80% chance of rain tomorrow with a chance of storms in the morning. Highs in the lower 70s. It's 58 degrees in Topeka and it's 6:20.
Of the country. More than 170 children and staff were killed. Neither the U.S. or Israel has taken responsibility. So whose bombs were they? That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. Wake up with the latest news and weather and more. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas State University, where researchers study food safety and biosecurity to support the resilience of food systems in Kansas and across the nation. More information at k-state.edu.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 57 degrees in Lawrence, 59 in Manhattan. The time is 6:30.
PR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Transgender Kansans who had their identity documents invalidated by a new law say they are facing uncertainty as a court hearing over the policy approaches. The law invalidated driver's licenses and birth certificates that have had the gender marker changed. A state judge could decide tomorrow whether to block the law from taking effect while it faces challenges in the courts. Iridescent Roney is a transgender woman who was born in Kansas. She says officials at the state office that handles birth certificates were not prepared to help her comply with the law.
They were confused. They didn't know what to do. They even told me there's a chance that I just don't have a birth certificate anymore.
Supporters of the law say that government documents should reflect a person's sex assigned at birth. Kansas lawmakers want to use a federal database to remove possible non-citizen voters from voter rolls. The proposal would require the Secretary of State to compare the Kansas voter database with the federal Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlement System twice a year and again 6 months before a federal general election. The federal database checks a person's immigration or citizenship status for eligibility for certain public services. Republican State Senator Adam Thomas said the bill does not focus on non-citizens.
So we're kind of getting off on a bit of a tangent here because this bill is really about data sharing more than anything else.
Opponents warn eligible people could be wrongly removed from the voter rolls. Microplastics have been found all over the world and even in human bodies. Kate Grumke reports that scientists are working on a new way to use algae to help clean it up.
University of Missouri chemistry professor Susie Day was trying to engineer algae to produce aviation fuel. But instead, she found that the clumps of algae were great at grabbing onto microplastics in water. She's working on a process to add algae tanks to wastewater treatment plants, which could use some help picking up the smallest microplastics.
It's wonderful to remove and retain the big ones, but eventually the smaller ones will be the one really getting to the ecosystem and then getting to human exposure route.
Day and her co-authors lay out their process for using the algae to pick up microplastics in a new paper in Nature Communications. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
And you are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from...
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This week on Live at Green Lady Lounge, it's the sound of classic Kansas City jazz with Alex Abramovitz and his swinging KC Jazz Band. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Join me for an hour of Kansas City jazz live at the Green Lady Lounge. Saturday at 6 p.m. on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 99.5 FM in Manhattan, many other frequencies as well all around the state, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, preparing heat and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner items for drive-thru pickup Wednesday afternoons. Gluten-free, vegetarian, and dairy-free options available. New menus weekly and online ordering at Maselli'sOnline.com.
Stay tuned. We do still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One, up next we have Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music hosted by Kay McIntyre, our utility infielder here at KPR. She can do anything. That is all followed by Jazz in the Night. Join us for some music from the Vinyl Vault. If you're joining us on KPR 2, at 7 o'clock we have Prairie Journal, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
90% chance of rain tonight, chance of thunderstorms, near steady temperatures tonight in the upper 50s. It is 56 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 10 minutes before 7.
The George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 35 years, sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org. This is NPR.
After the U.S. and Israel dropped the first bombs on Iran, an elementary school was hit. Who did the bombs belong to? That's on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will be your local host, getting you caught up on the latest news and weather and more.
Support for KPR comes from Claw Valley Greenhouses, a sponsor of the Kansas City Garden Symposium, a full day of garden education and inspiration presented by Gardeners Connect on Saturday, March 21st. Tickets and more information at gardenersconnect.org.
Up next, we have Classics Live. This time around, the Kansas City audience perennial favorite, the Goldenberg Duo, a brother-sister team on piano and violin, gets underway in just a few moments, right here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence presenting The Cottage, a romantic farce with mistaken identities, secrets, and nonstop hilarity. Playing March 13th through the 15th and 19th through the 22nd. Information at theodorelawrence.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. There's a 90% chance of rain tonight. We do have a chance of thunderstorms, near steady temperatures overnight in the upper 50s, and an 80% chance of rain tomorrow with a high in the lower 70s. It's 7:01. Classics Live is next.
Welcome to Classics Live. I'm Cordelia Brown. The Goldenberg Duo is featured in this Classics Live, classical favorites for violin and piano, in this Doreen Marande professional recital at Johnson County Community College. Susan and William Goldenberg have been giving these fun, informal, and informative concerts around Kansas City for over 43 years. Concert tours have taken them all over the world, festivals, and as soloists with symphonies. They've been sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts, Arts Councils, and by the consulates of various countries. Here are Susan, the violinist, and her brother, William, the pianist, for an hour of chamber music for violin and piano with the Goldenberg Duo.
And my brother and I actually have played together now 45 years. So we're still going strong. Thank you. The first composer we will feature is Frank Bridge. He was one of the most important of the Romantic English composers. He was born in Brighton, England. He's one of my favorite English composers because he was a pacifist. I very much like a person like that. And he was very disturbed by what was happening during World War I. His main instrument was the viola. He loved the viola. And for those of you that don't know, the viola is an instrument just a little bit bigger than the violin. It has a little bit deeper sound. This is a Norse legend, and this is from Norway, and it was dedicated to the wonderful Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg. And I'm playing this English piece on an English violin. My violin was made in 1820 in London. The maker is Samuel Gilkes. The next composer we will feature is from Finland. He was the greatest composer from Finland. His name was Sibelius. And he was so beloved that his birthday was made a national holiday in Finland, which is December 8th. So they are celebrating on December 8th all the music of Sibelius. He wrote 7 wonderful symphonies. I've played many of them in the Kansas City Symphony. And he wrote a very famous orchestral work called Finlandia. And another of the great works he composed is a violin concerto, which we've done many, many times with the great violinists. And this is a little rondino. A rondino is a musical form where the little theme you'll hear comes back many different times. And if I play it convincingly, I'll have you laughing and smiling at the end. To tell a joke. You just listen to the music and you can laugh a little bit. That's the beauty of music. It's the healing art, I think. However you're feeling, or even if you're a little down, you come to an orchestra concert, you come to a recital, and the music just kind of lifts your spirits, which we all need today, I think. And the next composer we will feature, thank you, is one of my favorites of the Romantic composers from Norway. His name was Edvard Grieg. And he was born in Bergen, Norway, which is in the western part of Norway. My brother and I were very fortunate about 15 years ago to travel to Scandinavia, and we played in Bergen in Grieg's hometown, which is called Trolltagen. So whenever I play this movement, I'm thinking of Bergen, Norway, and the beautiful landscape there. He also wrote a wonderful piano concerto and a great work for orchestra called Peer Gynt. Grieg loved folk music, so any of the music you hear of Grieg will have the wonderful folk music of Norway. So this is the first movement of the F major sonata by Edvard Grieg. So we will play a beautiful composer in my feeling, and her name was Maria Teresia von Paradis. She was a student of Wolfgang Mozart, so she lived in the late 1700s. She was a romantic composer, and this is a beautiful Sicilienne. It's a very lilting, kind of a pastoral lullaby. And what's very special about this lady was she was blind. But I think when you hear this piece, you'll hear in your heart what great vision and insight she had. So this is a Sicilienne by von Paradis.
That'll be followed by a short solo piano piece, and this was written by Felix Mendelssohn, and it's called A Song Without Words. Mendelssohn wrote 8 books of songs without words. Each one has 6 songs, and some are fast, some are slow, some are lyrical, some are scherzo-like. They're all types of different feelings. He wrote about Italian, Venice, you know, the boat rocking in Venice on the canals and so on. So each one has a different character, and they're very beautiful pieces. They're usually a simple form and very easily to appreciate for anybody, including me and someone who doesn't know anything at all about music experience. So they're wonderful little pieces, I'd say. You know Mendelssohn, I'm sure, so you've heard some of his music. He wrote incidental music to Midsummer Night's Dream of Shakespeare, and that's very popular to hear and to perform by orchestras. He wrote a wonderful Scottish symphony, an Italian symphony, great violin concerto. He wrote some piano concertos that aren't quite as great as the violin concerto, in my opinion, but I played anyway, the Mendelssohn, which I liked. But they're good pieces, fun pieces for sure. Last movement of one of them is a perpetual motion that just never stops running, which Mendelssohn is famous for doing in all of his music, chamber music or solo music or whatever. And he also wrote a piece that you all will be singing at Christmas, and that's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He was the composer of that music.
And we will feature one more woman composer, and her name was Amy Marcy Cheney Beach. And she was born in Henniker, New Hampshire. She was a romantic composer. This is a lovely Bear Seuss, which is a lullaby, a beautiful lullaby. She wrote a mass and a Gaelic symphony. Her father wrote for a newspaper, and her mother was a singer and also a pianist. Her husband was a physician and very supportive and encouraging to her career. She was very much influenced by the works of Brahms and Wagner. And here is a short quote from Mrs. Beach. She said, "Remember, technique is only a means to an end. You must first have something to say. If you feel deeply and know how to express what you feel, then you make others feel." So this is a lovely lullaby. Fritz Kreisler was one of the most important of the old school violinists. He was born in Vienna, Austria, of Jewish parents. He served in World War I, and he also studied medicine. He was known for his very expressive phrasing and very sweet and mellow tone. And he's very famous for composing encore pieces. And I like to include them on the program and not wait for the encore. They're my favorites. So we'd like to play for you one of the most famous, which is called Liebeslied, which means love sorrow. And the second is a wonderful miniature Viennese march. And his style is very cozy. And in German, that's called gemütlich.
Thank you.
the last two composers we will feature are from France. Gabriel Fauré was one of the most important of the Romantic French composers. He wrote a wonderful Requiem, very, very beautiful, and he was a church organist as well. This piece is called Après un rêve, which means after a dream. And this is the music of Claude Debussy. Debussy was born near Paris, and he was one of the most important of the Impressionist composers. He wrote a wonderful work for orchestra called La Mer, and he wrote a great violin-piano sonata and beautiful children's pieces for the piano. And in May, the Kansas City Symphony will be performing on their French program, Nocturnes by Debussy. So that might be something you're interested in. And this is called Ballet, and it was originally written for piano, four hands, and we found an arrangement for violin and piano. And when I was growing up, I studied ballet for about 15 years, so whenever I play this, I feel like I'm dancing a little bit. It's a very, very graceful piece, and it has a nice little waltz in the middle of it.
That's the Goldenberg Duo. Violinist Susan Goldenberg earned her music degrees from Indiana and Yale Universities, and she plays in the first violin section of the Kansas City Symphony. Her brother, William Goldenberg, is currently Distinguished Professor and Chair of Piano at Northwestern Illinois University. His music degrees are from Indiana University and from the Juilliard School. The Goldenbergs have been giving these story-filled concerts in the Kansas City area for 45 years now. Kansas Public Radio recorded this Doreen Mirande professional recital in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. Chuck Smith recorded the concert. I'm Cordelia Brown, and thanks for joining us for another Classics Live. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
You are listening to Classics Live here on Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the First Judicial District CASA Association in Leavenworth. Offering supervised visitation and safe custody exchanges through the Child Exchange and Visitation Center. Details at casalvks.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to get smart and play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump has fired Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Trump says he's planning to replace her with Senator Mark Wayne Mullins. The Oklahoma Republican spoke to reporters outside of the Capitol shortly after the announcement was made today.
I am super excited about this opportunity. It came at not a complete surprise, but it came at a little bit of surprise for us. And so the president and I, as you guys know, we're great friends, and we get along great. I look forward to working with him in his cabinet. Of course, we still got to go through this little thing called confirmation.
Noem has faced growing criticism after contentious congressional hearings over immigration enforcement and department leadership. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries says removing Noem is a step toward fixing what he calls a broken department.
They had a corrupt political hack who was running DHS. Shame on every Republican senator who put her in that position when they knew she was unqualified.
Senator Mullen will take over as acting Homeland Security Secretary on March 31st. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the war against Iran is intensifying. Speaking from the Pentagon tonight, Hegseth said the United States and Israel still have a significant military force ready to deploy in the conflict.
If you think you've seen something, just wait. The amount of combat power that's still flowing, that's still coming, that we'll be able to project over Iran is a multiples of what it currently is right now when you add up our capabilities and those of the Israeli Defense Forces.
President Trump once again called on Iranian regime members to lay down their arms in exchange for immunity, saying the U.S. is successfully destroying the country's military capabilities. Trump also told several news outlets that he should play a direct role in choosing the next leader of Iran. House Republican leaders are calling on Texas Representative Tony Gonzalez to drop his bid for re-election. This after the House Ethics Committee announced it was investigating him for alleged misconduct. Texas Public Radio's David Martin Davies reports.
In a joint letter, House Speaker Mike Johnson and the chamber's Republican leadership asked Gonzalez to end his primary runoff bid. This comes the day after Gonzalez admitted to having an affair with an aide, a violation of House rules. The aide, Regina Santos Aviles, later took her own life. Here's Gonzalez on the Joe Pags Show.
I made a mistake, and I had a lapse in judgment, and I take full responsibility for those actions.
The House leadership is not calling for Gonzalez to resign his seat. Gonzalez faces gun rights influencer Brandon Herrera in the runoff for the Republican primary for the Texas 23rd Congressional District. For NPR News, I'm David Martin Davies in San Antonio.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Stardate March 5th. Visitors sometimes just drop in on us. But a visitor to a home in Georgia took the notion of dropping in a bit far. It smashed through the roof, an air duct, and a thick layer of insulation before splatting into the floor, leaving a crater the size of a quarter. It missed smacking into a resident by just 14 feet. The Visitor was a meteorite, part of a much larger space rock. The rock formed a glowing streak as it raced through the skies of the southeastern United States on June 26th. Hundreds of people saw it, and many more heard it. It produced a sonic boom, plus an explosion before it hit the ground. The bit that smashed into the house was one of more than 200 samples recovered. In all, they totaled about 12 pounds. Collectively, they were called the McDonough meteorite for the small town where they hit. Eyewitness reports, videos, weather radar, and weather satellites helped scientists reconstruct the space rock's origin. It came from the asteroid belt, a wide band of debris between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. It probably was a piece from a much larger body that broke apart 470 million years ago. Lab studies revealed the meteorite's age, 4.56 billion years, about 20 million years older than Earth. That means it was similar to the rocky building blocks that came together to make Earth. So the McDonough meteorite is an ancient visitor that dropped in with a bang. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you. The Gondoliers by Gilbert and Sullivan on Kansas Public Radio. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. Kicking off this hour with the Overture to the Gondoliers, a comic opera about the heir to the throne of the fictitious country of Barataria, set in, you guessed it, Venice. But which young man is the true heir? Mistaken identity, hilarity, very Gilbert and Sullivan. The Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, Sir Neville Mariner conducting. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. The piano trio we're about to hear was the first work of Beethoven's that he thought was worth calling an opus. I think he was being a little hard on himself. It's performed here by the Beaux-Arts Trio. Beethoven's Piano Trio, Opus 1, on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Interrupt this program to bring you a severe thunderstorm warning for a portion of the KPR listening area. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until 8:45 this evening for portions of Geary and West Central Riley counties. A severe thunderstorm located near Milford moving to the northeast at 40 miles per hour. Quarter-sized hail is the primary hazard with this storm. Damage to vehicles is possible. Locations affected include Riley, Milford, Leonardville, and Tuttle Creek Lake. You should prepare immediately for large hail and deadly cloud-to-ground lightning, and you are strongly urged to seek shelter inside a well-built structure. Stay away from windows. A severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 8:45 this evening for northwestern Geary and west central Riley counties. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program. This broadcast on KPR to bring you an update on the severe weather situation this evening. The severe thunderstorm warning has been allowed to expire for portions of Riley and Geary counties. However, strong thunderstorms will affect northwestern Riley and northwestern Pottawatomie counties through 9 o'clock tonight. We're tracking a cluster of strong thunderstorms near Riley, moving to the northeast at 45 miles per hour. Half-inch hail has been reported with this storm. Locations affected include Riley, Leonardville, Olsburg, Randolph, and Tuttle Creek Lake. We also have a special weather statement from the National Weather Service. A strong thunderstorm moving through central Geary and southeastern Riley counties through 8:45 with half-inch hail. This is indicated on radar. Minor damage to vegetation is possible. This storm is near Ogden, moving to the northeast at 45 miles per hour. Locations affected include Manhattan, Junction City, Ogden, Grandview Plaza, St. George, and Keats, and Interstate 70 between mile markers 300 and 311. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you.
Beaux-Arts Trio with Beethoven's Piano Trio, Opus 1, on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and live streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. We've got about 20 more minutes of classical music ahead, then NPR News and Jazz in the 9 o'clock hour. Support for classical music on KPR comes from KU's Natural History Museum, celebrating Pi Day with clues to find examples of pi throughout the museum, Saturday, March 14th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. More at biodiversity.ku.edu. KPR listeners are engaged in their communities. They frequent businesses that support public radio. Become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. If you're like me, you probably can't hear our next piece without thinking of Walt Disney and Fantasia. It's Paul Dukas' Sorcerer's Apprentice. The 1940 video was a staple in our house when our kids were young. Mickey Mouse in that iconic red gown, the brooms, the buckets. Paul Dukas' Sorcerer's Apprentice, performed here by the London Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Andre Previn on Kansas Public Radio.
We interrupt this broadcast on Kansas Public Radio for a quick update on the weather situation. The severe weather statement has been allowed to expire. However, we do still have a couple of special weather statements in effect. Penny-sized hail as part of a strong thunderstorm moving through southeastern Geary and northwestern Waubonsie counties through 9 p.m. This storm is near Alta Vista, moving to the northeast at 55 miles per hour. The locations affected include Alma, Alta Vista, McFarland, and Volland, and I-70 between mile markers 323 and 334. If you're outdoors, please take shelter inside a building. We also have a special weather statement about thunderstorms for northwestern Riley and Northwest counties through 9 o'clock. Doppler radar tracking a cluster of strong thunderstorms near Riley, moving to the northeast at 45 miles per hour. Half-inch hail is reported with this storm. Locations affected include Riley, Leonardville, Olsburg, Randolph, and Tuttle Creek Lake. If you're outdoors, please take shelter inside a building. We now return you to your regularly scheduled broadcast. Thank you.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas on Kansas Public Radio. It's performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, Andre Previn conducting. I'm Kay McIntyre. You're listening to Evening Classical on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Just ahead, we'll close out the hour with some piano by Felix Mendelssohn, followed by NPR News at 9:01. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haynes and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Information at kansascitypbs.org. Felix Mendelssohn wrote six of these pieces for children, Kinderstück, while he was vacationing in England. It's said that he preferred writing these short character pieces in his later years. Kinderstück, performed here by Paul Lewis on Kansas Public Radio. Kinderstück by Felix Mendelssohn, performed by Paul Lewis. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. I'm Kay McIntyre. Thanks for joining me for an hour of Evening Classical. Coming up next, it's NPR News, followed by Jazz Overnight on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The State Department says it's reestablishing diplomatic relations with Venezuela's interim authorities. The embassy was closed 7 years ago, and the building itself is still in need of repair, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
After the Trump administration ousted Nicolas Maduro in a military operation earlier this year, the State Department has been working to reestablish a diplomatic presence there. Now it said it's agreed with Venezuela's interim authorities to reestablish diplomatic and consular relations. The State Department calls this a step to promote stability and support economic recovery in Venezuela. At the White House, President Trump said the interim leader, Delcy Rodriguez, has been doing a, quote, fantastic job working with his administration. He also praised Secretary of State Marco Rubio and said his next job will be Cuba. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
As tensions escalate between the U.S., Israel, and Iran, attacks on American military facilities in the Middle East are raising new questions. NPR's Tom Bowman reports details about strikes on U.S. bases in Bahrain and Qatar remain scarce.
We're not getting a lot of information about these strikes on U.S. facilities in Bahrain and Qatar.
We're getting information from commercial satellite photos, not from the Pentagon, not from the State Department. And I think that's a real concern. They're giving a lot of detail about what targets are hitting in Iran, but not what is being hit in Bahrain, Qatar, and also the Emirates.
That's NPR's Tom Bowman reporting. The House has blocked a war powers resolution that would constrain President Trump's military action against Iran. It was the second vote on the issue in 2 days. The Senate rejected a similar measure Wednesday, mostly along party lines. Republicans have largely backed the president's decision to strike Iran, while most Democrats oppose it, though divisions remain within both parties. Leaders in Minnesota are reacting to President Trump's firing of Homeland Security Secretary Christine Noem today. Minnesota Public Radio's Chandra Coffin reports Trump shared the news on social media.
Secretary Noem has been under criticism from state leaders over some of the tactics used during the federal surge in Minnesota, and especially after the killing of two Minneapolis protesters, Renee Macklin Good and Alex Preddy. Several Democratic elected officials have expressed their relief in Noem's departure. Governor Tim Walz posted to social media stating that it's, quote, good she's gone. Senator Tina Smith said she welcomes the news, but that it won't bring back Macklin Good and Preddy. For NPR News, I'm Chandra Colvin in St. Paul.
At the close on Wall Street, the Dow was down 784 points. This is NPR News. Millions of people across western Cuba remain in the dark after a blackout hit the island this week. State media report one of its largest thermoelectric power plants where a shutdown sparked the outage is down. Officials say it may stay that way for at least 3 more days. A major ICE detention facility in Texas is under quarantine after a measles outbreak. NPR's Martin Costi reports Camp East, Montana near El Paso is currently closed to visitors and attorneys.
News of the quarantine comes from Congresswoman Veronica Escobar, who represents the El Paso area. In a statement, she said she knew of 14 active measles cases in the camp, and she said it would stay closed until March 19th or 20th. NPR has also learned that at least one person about to be deported from the camp to a foreign country was held back because of the quarantine. The camp is one of ICE's largest, averaging almost 3,000 detainees. It opened last year and is run by a private company, Acquisitions Logistics, LLC. The Department of Homeland Security did not respond to NPR requests for comment on the measles quarantine. Martin Costi, NPR News.
The Ventura County Sheriff's Office in California says pop singer Britney Spears was arrested after a traffic stop late last night. The Grammy-winning artist emerged from a years-long conservatorship in 2021 and has spoken publicly about legal battles with family and struggles with mental health. Officials have not said what charges Spears may face. A court date is listed for May 4th. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org.
this broadcast of Kansas Public Radio for an update on the severe weather in part of the KPR listening area. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until 9:30 for north central Wabansee and southeastern Potawatomi counties. A severe thunderstorm is located over Bellevue. It is moving to the northeast at 55 miles per hour. Quarter-sized hail is being reported with this storm. Locations affected include St. Mary's, Bellevue, and Emmett. You should get inside. If you are outside, seek shelter inside a well-built structure. We are getting reports of cloud-to-ground lightning and large hail with this storm. We also have an additional severe weather statement, a strong thunderstorm moving through north-central Riley, northwestern Potawatomi, and eastern Marshall counties through 9:45 this evening. Doppler radar indicating a strong thunderstorm 6 miles north of Olsburg, moving to the northeast at 40 miles per hour. Half-inch hail is being reported with this storm. If you are near Frankfort, Axtell, Beatty, or Vermilion, you need to take shelter inside a building. Torrential rainfall is also occurring with this storm and could lead to localized flooding. Do not drive your vehicle through flooded roadways. We now return you to regular programming on your KPR station.
Tenor saxophonist Benny Golson's quintet with the Jerome Kern Standard, Yesterday's, to open KPR's Jazz in the Night. I'm Bob McWilliams, and after missing a few weeks for some surgery recovery, I'm back this week, which means it's time for the Vinyl Hour to return on Thursday evening in this 9 o'clock hour, all vinyl for you, including a little bit later a wonderful meeting of tenor saxophonist Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster. Grooving with Golson, the LP we just heard had Benny with Curtis Fuller on trombone, Ray Bryant, Paul Chambers, and Art Blakey, piano, bass, and drums. It was one of three albums recorded and released by Benny for the new jazz label in 1959. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more information about KU research is at ku.edu. Tad Dameron, one of the great composers and arrangers of post-World War II jazz, did not have a lot of record dates under his own name. We're going to hear from one of them from 1956 in this set. We're going to start off with a Tad Dameron tune played by the band of drummer Roy Haynes, pianist Finus Newborn Jr., and bassist Paul Chambers. This album called We Three, and they're doing Tad Dameron's Our Delight here on KPR.
Interrupt your regularly scheduled broadcast for a quick update on the weather situation. Strong thunderstorms are expected to affect eastern Pottawatomie and southwestern Nemaha counties, along with southwestern Jackson and southeastern Marshall counties through 9:45 tonight. Half-inch hail is associated with these storms. If you are in Westmoreland, Blaine, Onega, Bellevue, Emmett, Havensville, Wheaton, or Lillis, you need to be inside a sturdy building. Torrential rainfall is occurring with these storms and could lead to localized flooding. Do not drive through flooded roadways. We are also seeing strong thunderstorms moving through northwestern Jefferson and northeastern Jackson counties for about the next, oh, let's say 13 minutes. Penny-sized hail with this storm. Doppler radar tracking this thunderstorm near Denison. It is moving to the northeast at 45 miles per hour. If you are in Denison or Whiting, you need to take shelter inside a sturdy building. We have no active severe thunderstorm warnings at the moment, just weather statements. So be aware, you could see some gusty winds, very strong gusts up to around 50 miles per hour at times. Be on the lookout for hail and be on the lookout for cloud-to-ground lightning. We now return you to your regularly scheduled KPR broadcast.